Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it's impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." So, I'm sure you guys have maybe read through this before, definitely heard maybe the part about, you know, getting a camel through the eye of a needle. All right. But let's go back through here and unpack this a couple verses at a time. Okay, so if we relook here at verse 17 through 19, okay, Jesus starting out on his way to Jerusalem. The man comes up to him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked. "Only God is truly good, but to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder, not commit adultery, you must not steal, you must not falsely testify, and you must not cheat anyone, and honor your father and mother." So, looking at that question that the man initially asked Jesus, kind of a good question, right? I mean, it's not like he's asking something dumb, like, you know, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus responds to his question with a question. He said, "Why do you call me good? Only God is truly good." You see, Jesus already had an idea of how this situation was going to go, and he wanted to challenge this man on his idea of what good actually meant. Jesus is always really good at asking challenging questions. So my hope for you guys is that you have someone like that in your life that challenges you, that pushes you to be better, that pushes you not to just take things at surface level or just do things because that's how you've always done them, but that you have somebody that challenges why you're doing that. Even if it is a good thing, it's still good to have that. And I think this section shows us that you can't confront someone's behavior until you've addressed their standard of truth or what they know. So, before Jesus did anything, he wanted to see, like, hey, what's this guy's morals like? Okay? Because, I mean, think about it, if it was like for us. If somebody has horrible morals, but you're trying to get them to act differently or better, they might not, just because that's not who they are, and they don't want to be like that. Okay, so I think we have to address what that person's standard of truth is, which is exactly what Jesus did here. Then he starts stating some of the Ten Commandments, and let's look again at how the man responds to this. Verse 20. "Teacher," the man replied, "I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young." And looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. "There's still one thing you haven't done," he told him. "Go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you'll have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." So, man must have decent morals, right? He claims that he's obeyed all these things since he was young, okay? But Jesus is getting ready to drop some truth bombs on him, okay? I think something to notice before Jesus even says anything to the man, it says he looked at the man and felt genuine love for him. I think we can't miss that. Okay, before Jesus even responds, looks at the man, feels genuine love for him. And this shows us that Jesus was compassionate before he was confrontational. Okay, hear that. Okay, Jesus was compassionate before he was confrontational. See, this is important because spirit-filled confrontation isn't about winning an argument. It's about winning a person. Okay? If I'm trying to help somebody out, I'm not just trying to win an argument. Okay? I'm trying to make that person better. I'm trying to help that person out. Or I'm trying to seek out help to make myself better, however that may look. Okay? It's not about winning an argument. It's about winning a person. I heard a quote a while back, like a long time ago. I'm not sure where I heard it. Maybe I just read it somewhere. But it says, "Truth without grace is just a lecture." Truth without grace is just a lecture. Okay? As a teacher, I never lecture. That's horrible. No one listens. It's awful. Okay? So a lot of you probably haven't sat through a lecture lately or, you know, anytime recent. Okay, truth without grace is just a lecture, but grace without truth is just being sentimental. Okay, so we have to have both. There has to be truth and grace, and thank goodness Jesus is filled with both truth and grace. All right, let's move on. Let's look at 22, verse 22 here. At this, the man's face fell, and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God." So at first glance, it kind of seems like maybe this was an unsuccessful confrontation, okay? The man just left, got upset and left, okay? But I think it's really just the opposite of that, because the man finally understood the cost. He finally got the answer to his original question, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And hear this, okay? The goal of confrontation is clarity. Okay, the goal of confrontation is clarity. Okay, I think that really ties into there to that Nick Saban quote. Okay, there has to be clarity amongst, you know, the people that you're around, the people that you work with. Okay, and that's exactly what Jesus did for this man. He made it abundantly clear what he was supposed to do. He answered his question. So finally, it was clear to him that storing up earthly treasures wasn't going to do anything for him in the kingdom of God. And that really has to do with the idea of surrender. Okay? Anybody in here, youth group, remember the story about Adam the raccoon, right? Big time. Okay? Surrendering is hard. Okay? And the rich man in this story kind of shows us that. It's hard to let go sometimes. Let's look at verse 24 through 27 here, last couple verses. This amazed them, but Jesus said it again. "Dear children, it is very hard to enter the kingdom of God. In fact, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." The disciples were astounded. "Then who in the world can be saved?" they asked. And Jesus looked at them intently and said, "Humanly speaking, it is impossible, but not with God. Everything is possible with God." You see, I love what Jesus does here. He uses this confrontation that he had with the man to teach an even bigger lesson to his disciples. And this is one that a lot of you guys have heard before, right? Like, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God. Right? And whenever I first heard this a long time ago, I was like, perfect. I'm going to be a teacher when I grow up. Problem solved, right? I beat the system. More money, more problems. No money, no problems, right? It's like, oh, nice. I'll have like wiggle room going through the eye of a needle. No, it has nothing to do with the amount of money you have, okay? That's not what Jesus is saying here, okay? What that statement or what that quote about, it's about human pride. It's about what things you truly treasure. It has nothing to do with the amount of money. It's about where do you store your treasures? Are they here on earth? Are they the things that you have? Okay? Because you can't take all that with you and get to the kingdom of heaven. That's not what it's about. This shows us that confrontation should always lead people back to their need for God, not just a need to try harder. And that's what Jesus was trying to make clear to the man in this story. You don't need treasures here on earth. Go sell them. Okay? God is the only thing that is truly good and the only thing that you truly need. Okay? Which is exactly how he answered the man's question. So now we've kind of gone through and unpacked this section of scripture and talked about like what some examples of confrontation look like. I just want to give four quick application points that I think we can take away from what we've read so far this morning. Because I think sometimes it's hard to figure out, like, hey, when should I confront somebody? When should I go seek help? Like, however that might look. So I'm hoping that these four points might make that a little bit easier for us. So first one is the heart check. Okay, the heart check. Just like Jesus first looked upon the man before he said anything to him about his question, we need to look at ourselves first. Okay, just like Jesus looked upon the man, we need to kind of examine ourselves first. Okay, most confrontations in our world are actually just vented frustrations. It's just people being frustrated. Okay, we confront because we're annoyed. We might confront somebody because we've been inconvenienced. Or we might confront somebody because we want to prove that we're right. So with that, kind of this heart check idea, I think we got to ask ourselves a couple questions before we go and confront somebody, before we feel like we need to. Okay, first question we should ask ourselves is, am I doing this to be right? Or am I doing this to see this person be restored? Am I doing this to be right? Or am I doing this to see this person be restored? Okay, then I think the next thing we have to ask ourselves is, if this person changes, who gets the glory? God's kingdom or my ego? Okay, I think if we ask ourselves those two questions, if we can answer, you know, the right way to both of those, I think that's when we know that, hey, maybe I should go have a conversation. Maybe I should go ask for help on this. Maybe this person does need this right now. I think whenever we can answer both those questions honestly and know that God gets the glory, that's when we know that our heart's in the right posture to go have that conversation, as hard as it might be. Okay, so that's the first one, the heart check. Second one, observation, not accusation. Observation, not accusation. I was kind of proud of that. I felt like Dr. Seuss writing that down, okay? I was like, ooh, that's a good one. All right, so Jesus saw this man right where he was, okay, and tried to get on the same level as him by bringing up the law in which they're both familiar with, right? The Ten Commandments, the law, okay? Because most people in this time would have heard that. Because it's hard to have a conversation with somebody that you have zero things in common with, right? Like, if I have nothing in common with somebody, it's going to be hard to make conversation, it's at least meaningful conversation. Okay, so that's what Jesus did. He tried to get down on this guy's level. Okay, so he starts explaining the law to him because he knew that he would be familiar with that. And notice that Jesus didn't immediately start screaming at this man that he was an idolater, right? Even though it was true because he put his possessions and he put his money before God, unfortunately. Okay, but no, Jesus didn't immediately just start accusing this man. Okay, he tried to level with him, and he gave him clear instructions on what he needed to do better. Okay, he gave him clear instructions. See, I love coaching. I pretty much only teach because if I didn't, I wouldn't be able to coach. Okay, don't go tell the school that. All right, clear instructions. Okay, this is something that drives me to be a better coach. Okay, I coach baseball right now, okay, and something that just always really got me going, just super upsetting, is whenever you'd hear, especially another coach, say something to their player like, hey, just throw strikes. Pitcher can't find the zone, right? He's like, hey, just throw strikes. Well, what do you think the kid's up there trying to do, not throw strikes? Like, help him out a little bit. Give him something clear that he can fix, right? Or the one in football was also really fun, and it was especially fun when the parents in the stands would yell it, hey, just block somebody. Block someone. Oh, my goodness, I bet they didn't realize they were supposed to do that. Right? Like, are you kidding me? Like, this is terrible. What are we doing? Okay? Jesus does a really, really good job of giving clear instructions. Okay? So with all that said, like, Jesus just as easily could have said, you're an adulterer. Stop doing that. Stop it, okay? But he didn't, because he actually cared about this man, like what we read. He wanted to see him get better and wanted to answer the question the man had for him honestly. So, how could that look, you know, everyday life? You know, if somebody asks you for advice, you're probably not going to throw out a statement like, oh, just be better with your money. What does that mean? Right? Oh, just be a better parent. Oh, just try harder. Just do better. Okay? We would never say that to somebody. So spirit-filled confrontation starts with observation, getting on somebody's level, and not accusation, just telling them that they're wrong. So moving on to the third point, this ties in really well with number two, I think, and that is number three, be specific. Be specific. So if you look there at verse 21, Jesus makes this statement. He says, there is still one thing you haven't done. There's still one thing you haven't done. Okay, he doesn't give the man a laundry list of things that he needs to do to inherit eternal life. Okay, he gives him one thing. He says, sell all your stuff, give your money away. Pretty simple, one step. Okay, so the man in the story struggled with idolatry, like we mentioned earlier. So realistically, just going and selling all of the stuff and giving his money away, I just don't see that being like a fix-all for his struggles. Because he very well could have done that and then still had his heart set on getting his things back someday. Okay, but with that said, what Jesus did was give him one small, clear step that he could take to getting him closer to what he longed for, being that question that he asked Jesus. And we're going to talk about that more here in a second. So this is my first year teaching and coaching in Monette. And man, it's different whenever you got to rebuild relationships, right, with players. Like previously, I'd coached and taught for 4 years in Mount Vernon, right? So the players kind of trusted me and stuff. But when you start new somewhere or you go somewhere different, you gotta build that back up. Okay? And so we've been getting to do like these preseason practices. And I've been working with pitchers in the bullpen, right? And just, you know, trying to build that relationship. Because really all whenever you're helping a kid like learn how to pitch or hit, just those two things specifically, it's just like a counseling session. Okay, they typically already have that ability. So just trying to build that relationship, build that trust with them, and been joking around and like, dude, I could teach a human baby to throw strikes. You think I can't help you? Right? And then I'll just give them specific things, like one thing. Hey, change this, do this. Your grip's wrong, fix that. Okay, do this thing. And it'll work for them. And they're like, what the heck? Like, are you kidding me? Like, I've been doing this, like, you know, hey, it is what it is. We only know what we know, okay? We only know what we know, and I'm no expert, okay? But I do know a few things, small things, all right? But, so, with that, when someone confronts us with something that they might be struggling with, we have to be, or we need to try to be specific with our response. Okay, we need to try to get on their level of understanding, like Jesus did with the man in this story. All right, fourth point, last point here. How versus stop. Okay, how versus stop. I could not figure out a rhyme for this one. I did my absolute best. Okay, but this is what it is. Okay, so how versus stop. We see in this section of scripture that Jesus doesn't just tell the man to stop what he's doing. He tells him what he needs to do, and then at the end of verse 21 says, then come and follow me. So like I said before, the man just going and selling all this stuff, giving his money away, might not be the fix-all, okay? But Jesus is going to eventually offer that to him. That's why he says that at the end. In verse 21 there, he says, then come and follow me. Okay, because I think Jesus knew, like, you know, if he goes and does this, but that's where it stops, I don't think he's going to be any better. Okay, that's why Jesus ends it with that invitation. So, for us, if we just tell someone what they're doing wrong and walk away, all that we've done is condemn that person. Okay, spirit-filled confrontation ends with an extended hand. Spirit-filled confrontation ends with an invitation, okay? What better time to invite somebody to church, right? Like, hey, I see maybe you're struggling with this. I know a bunch of other people who struggle, and we all meet on Sunday mornings, okay? Because we all want to be better. What a good way to invite somebody. So I want to wrap up with this today. And unfortunately, these are some hard truths kind of that I want to end with. Avoiding confrontation is selfish. Okay? And like I said, I'm preaching to myself right now. Okay? I hate confrontation. Okay? It's uncomfortable. But I have to challenge myself daily to get out of my comfort zone. Okay? Avoiding confrontation is selfish. All that you're doing is you're putting yourself above that person. You're putting your comfort above that person. Because avoiding confrontation protects our comfort rather than protecting the other person's soul. Avoiding confrontation just protects our comfort rather than protecting that other person's soul, rather than extending that hand, rather than giving that invitation to them. We're just protecting our comfort. So if you didn't hear anything else, here's my sermon in a sentence for you. Spirit-filled confrontation is the refusal to let someone you love stay stuck in a lie. Spirit-filled confrontation is the refusal to let someone you love stay stuck in a lie. You see, when we confront like Jesus, we aren't throwing stones. Okay? We're holding up a mirror. We do it because we believe that the treasure in heaven is far better than the things that we might treasure here on earth. So, my challenge for you guys this week is this. Don't avoid a hard conversation. Okay? Step into it boldly by speaking truth and grace, just like Jesus does, just like Jesus gives us so many examples of that, what that looks like and how that could look for us. Please stand with me. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, that's my prayer for all of us as we go about this week, Lord. God, that we stand firm, that we stand boldly in the faith, God, that we know in times of struggle, Lord, you're always there. And so I ask that you give us the courage that whenever you put something on our heart to go have maybe that hard conversation that we could have been putting off for a while, Lord, or if it's just a new thing that we see that pops up, Lord, that we're not afraid to go have that conversation, God, that we know that we can confront that person spirit-filled, Lord, that it's not for our gain, not for our glory, but for yours alone, God. God, please be with all of us throughout this week. Guide us and direct us on your path. And it's your name I pray. Amen. Guys, thanks for being here. We'll see you on Wednesday night.